Welcome in, 8 o'clock. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. It's Monday, the good, the bad, the ugly. A lot of good. Mavericks move on to the South Central Super Region. We'll take on Angelo State at Angelo, Texas on Friday. Palisade Bulldogs are into the state championship round of the 4A State Baseball Tournament. Good also with the Avalanche, getting the win over the Blues on Sunday, or on Saturday night, 5-2. But then there was the ugly, the death threats to Nazem Kadri, Sammy Girard, the broken sternum out for the Avalanche. Ugly, the Rockies offense unable to do anything against Taijuan Walker yesterday. Taijuan Walker. Not DeGrom, not Scherzer.
Right, Doc Gooden.
Doc Gooden, Tom Seaver. Al Leiter, right?
Yeah, Leiter was met for a while.
Yeah. No, it was Taijuan Walker.
Yep.
That slammed the door on the Rockies yesterday. All right, so the good, the bad, the ugly. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. Congratulations to our state champions from track and field as well. Justin Blatt almost had three for Central. Daniel Thomason, who, go back to football season, got the start, remember, in the secondary for the Wildcats. Really good basketball player coming off the bench for Jake Higuera.
Turns out he's fast, too.
Yeah.
Run a little bit.
Well, he's a high jumper. So he does have to run. So
you got to get some speed to get high, you know what I mean?
But to clarify, he did not win a track event. He won a field event. But he wins the 5A state high jump championship as a freshman. That's impressive. And and so Gabby Horton finished second for Palisade in the 100. Cedar Edge girls, they repeat as state champions as the team championship. So good, the bad, the ugly, what makes your list? Text or call us. 970-242-1340. Also among the good, this is the week leading up to the Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. Time to talk some JUCO baseball right now with Vaquero's coach, Anthony Gillich.
It's time to talk Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series on the team.
And joining us this morning on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast team phone line, his team is the runner-up last year at the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series. Right now, the number six team in the last JUCO baseball poll, Anthony Gillich joins us. Anthony, good to talk with you, man. How are you?
Hey, Jim. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's always great to talk with you. Welcome back to Grand Junction. Your ball club taking care of business, winning the West District title. Had to beat Salt Lake Community College to get the job done. Had to beat them in two games, and you get the job done with a couple of really good victories, picking up a 4-2 win and then a 12-4 win at their place. And Shane Spencer, guy that we saw last year in the Junior College World Series for you on the bump, Shane Spencer helping to lead the way on the mound for your team again.
Yeah, I mean, he threw an outstanding game. He went 10 innings, complete game in an elimination game for us to win game one against Salt Lake when we had to beat him twice, and just threw extremely well. And yeah, I mean, he pitched the national championship game last year against McLennan. Threw extremely well. I think when he came out of the game, it was 2-1. We were down. I think he threw six innings or 5 or 6 innings, and so I mean, he threw outstanding. And so he did a heck of a job for us on Saturday. We needed that. I mean, Salt Lake was a really good team, a lot of layers to their offense, and just tough to defend. And so he did a great job.
How much does it help for guys like a Shane Spencer, Anthony, guys that have been here before, been to Grand Junction, been through the grind of getting through that district, that even the situation was being that you had to win two games on Saturday to get back here, that you guys been there, done that, know what it takes to get to Grand Junction, and you're able to kind of fall back on that experience and that confidence?
Yeah, I think a lot. I mean, we've actually had 5 elimination games so far this year. We had 2 against Cochise in a 3-game series. They beat us game one. We had to come back and beat them twice. And then in the district, we lost to Salt Lake and had to beat Southeast from Nebraska and then Salt Lake twice. And so we've had 5 elimination games. And so, yeah, I think having those older guys and guys that have done it, just I don't necessarily think it's like the words they say or anything like that. I think it's just knowing they've been there and just kind of they bring a little calm into the dugout, you know, opposed to, you know, maybe some panic or some press or something like that. And so there's a little confidence, a little calm around the dugout, you know, and it helps in those situations for sure, because it's easy to get tight and worry about your season when it's all on the line.
Vaqueros head coach Anthony Gilich with us today on the Team Sports Network. Kiko Romero, boy, what a district tournament he had. Six home runs during that stretch for your ball club to help lead your bats. He had a sensational postseason.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a good player. I'm not sure that you can say, hey, he was hot or anything like that. I think he's just a good player. He was with us last year, and you know, he's going to University of Arizona next year, and he's just kind of been a hitter his whole life. You know, in high school he's a really good hitter, and the last couple of years with us he's been a good hitter, but he showed up this last weekend. Yeah, he got six home runs in five games, offensively, you know, he really carried us as far as, and we had other guys that hit well, but I mean, he has a bunch of RBIs and then the big hits, the home runs, and so he did an excellent job.
Anthony Gilich, coach of Central Arizona, with us today on the Team Sports Network, coming back to Grand Junction for the Junior College World Series. A couple other guys that, you know, we talk about Kiko Romero and what a great job he did in that tournament. But Jalen Ray hit 480. Tyrese Johnson hit 600 for you. So it's not just Kiko Romero. There were other guys that certainly delivered for you during that district tournament run.
Yeah, it was fun because a guy like Tyrese Johnson, I mean, he hadn't started much for us this year, you know, but we kind of rolled the dice with him and thought he was a good matchup, and he showed up. You know, he did a great job, made the most of his opportunity. We started Daniel Davila in the final game, and he hadn't started much for us as a pitcher. He was pitching out of the pen. You know, Sam Richard threw six innings, which is his farthest relief appearance the whole year in that final game as well. Tyson Heaton threw out of the pen in game one, which he's been a starter for us all year. So, I mean, a lot of guys were in different roles and different spots, and it was fun to see him step up and not be overwhelmed by the moment and just go out there and compete. It was fun just to see him have some success.
Vaqueros head coach Anthony Gilich with us today on the Team Sports Network. Of course, tomorrow we'll find out the seeding for the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But I do want to get back to your pitching staff. We referenced Shane Spencer, who got the start for you last year in town against McLennan in the championship game. But, you know, guys like Tyler Wozner and Spencer, guys that have experience, and it's a luxury to have, is it not, Anthony, to have those guys have that kind of experience, knowing what it's like to throw on that mound at Soplesio Field with, you know, certainly big crowds and all the things that go with playing in the Junior College World Series. Great to have pitchers that know what that's like, and they've been through that.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, it brings a little bit of calm, but I mean, also on the pitching side, you know, actually guys that have stood on the mound and looked back at the crowd and those kind of things. I mean, I think the JUCO jitters are real. You know, I think those, just for the guys who the first time they've been there and those kind of things, it just, I mean, we're used to playing in front of tens of people, you know, and so, you know, it's fun to look in there and have some thousands of people. And so, you know, it's a cool experience for them. So, yeah, I think guys like Shane Spencer and Wozner and Devin Dixon and Kiko Romero and Dusty Garcia, the guys who played in this tournament last year and had some success, I think it'll help them moving forward. I mean, it certainly won't hurt them.
Who's the player for you, or a couple of guys, that have been sneaky good under the radar players for you, that have delivered maybe more than what you thought they would in this season, contributed more than you thought they would starting out?
Jalen Ray, for sure. I mean, Jalen Ray last year didn't play much for us. I think he had like 180 for us and just got off to a slow start, and our team got off to a hot start. So it was tough to just get him in the lineup and those kind of things. And he's a great kid and continued to work. And he's leading our team in hitting this year. I mean, he led our team in hitting in the fall, kind of our lead up to our season. He's been our leading hitter the whole way. And just the way he works and what a, you know, the kind of teammate he is. I mean, it doesn't necessarily surprise me that he's getting success, but to the amount that he is, I mean, it's just fun to watch because he's, like I said, he's been a catalyst. I mean, he's hitting in between a bunch of good hitters and right in front of Kiko, who's, you know, probably our best hitter. And so I'm happy for him. I'm proud of him. But I mean, he's been unbelievable. I mean, I think he's hitting like 380 something. And remember, I mean, our conference has been with that the entire year,
right,
last weekend. And so, you know, he's doing it. I mean, he's really going.
Central Arizona head coach Anthony Gilich with us today on the Team Sports Network. They have qualified for the Junior College World Series after finishing up as the runner-up to McLennan last year, winning the national championship in 2019 when they defeated Iowa Western. And, I mean, you think about it, boy, I mean, you've won a championship, Anthony, 2019, 2020. We didn't play the series because of COVID, and then last year you were a runner-up for the Junior College World Series. I think it speaks volumes about where your program is right now in terms of the national perspective. I mean, your program right now is among the best in junior college baseball when you look at the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, thank you for saying that. It's such a difficult road out of the West District, too. I mean, it's just you have good teams, good series. We had to win a series with Seattle Pie. We had to win a series with Cochise, which are both, you know, great storied programs. And we had to go to Salt Lake, and so it's a tough road. And the teams that are in this field this time, I mean, these are some pretty impressive teams. So this should be a really good tournament here this year in 2022. And just excited to watch other teams play from different parts of the country, different parts of the region. Everybody has a little bit different style of play, and everybody's so talented that it's just going to be fun to watch and fun to compete with them.
Tomorrow's the seeding. I think we probably talked about it a little bit last year. Just your take on tomorrow, where we do this for the second time with the baseball committee seeding this tournament.
Yeah, I think it makes it fun. You know, I mean, it just it creates a little bit of build-up, a little bit of buzz, and you get to, you know, see not only what time you're playing and what day you're playing, but who you're playing and whoever else is playing. And so it just makes it, I think that idea was a good idea to come up with. And it just creates a little bit more buzz about an already good thing, you know, and so an already great thing. You know, I mean, the JUCO is unbelievable. And so I think that just kind of adds another layer to it that just, it makes it exciting for the players, the fans, the coaches, you know, and probably, you know, the people of Grand Junction too.
Anthony Gillich, Central Arizona coach, with us today on the Team Sports Network. I want to ask you about something that may or may not happen going forward. There has been some talk with the NJCAA and the JUCOs out in California about trying to find some way for them to maybe move their state tournament to maybe get them into the Junior College World Series here in Grand Junction. Maybe part of that would be folding them into your district, the West District. I guess just your takeaway on that. If you know, California somehow does become involved in finally after all these years in the Junior College World Series.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be great. I think, you know, there's so many good teams in California. It's such a big state. It's just talent rich area for baseball. So I mean, I think for the Junior College World Series for Grand Junction, I think it's a positive. I mean, it sure would make our district harder, you know. I mean, which I already think is one of the hardest in the country.
And sure.
So I think to add that many that many teams or available teams and talent, you know, make it tougher. And so I think it'd be great. I want when we get to Grand Junction, we want the best teams there. And I think, you know, being able to add a team from California or even Washington, Oregon, for that matter. I mean, I think it should be a total national tournament. Right now, it's 47 states. I think, you know, if you added in those three, I think it'd be great. It would make it a true national tournament.
Now, we'll see what happens. There been some talk, and I mean, it's been a deadlock for many, many years, for decades, and maybe we'll see something finally move forward on that in the next year or so. Hey, Anthony, always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate you joining us this morning. And, of course, we'll be talking to you throughout this week and next week as we get into the Junior College World Series. And looking forward to that final four coaches. And hopefully you'll be among that group again. We get a chance to talk with you.
Yep, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. And thanks for highlighting Junior College Baseball.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Anthony Gillich, the head coach of the Vaqueros of Central Arizona, joining us on the program this morning. All right, so I'm looking to do our final four coaches. Mm-hmm. We had three of the four last year. We were unable to get Tom Arrington from San Jack on, a little miscommunication on that. So hopefully this time around we'll be able to make that come together. And that was something actually Anthony had said, hey, why don't you have all four of the coaches on? I'm like, you know what, let's see what they'll do. And I'll give Anthony the full credit for coming up with that idea, mentioning that to us. And so that will be our plan on the Thursday of the final four teams, of having all four coaches in studio with us. We had a lot of fun with that last year.
Yeah, that was great. I'm looking at their pitching staff. I think it's 10 or 11 of their 14 pitchers average more than a strikeout per inning. Their K per 9, 11 of them are in double digits. They're bringing some power arms.
And experience in this tournament.
Experience power arms. Shane Spencer knows what it's like
Wozner
knows what it's like to be in that situation on that mound late in the week, because they were there. They were there last week.
Last year.
It's okay. But they've also been...
Maybe they drove up from Coolidge and they just decided to hop on the bump over there for a minute.
Well...
I'm just kidding.
Also, rolling that into another thought was, you know, what he said the last 2 weeks, they've been in do-or-die mode for essentially the entire month. You know, they're coming in on fire, and also
experience.
They've been backs against the wall for the last week. Against good teams. I mean, it's not like there's some chumps out there.
Oh, no kidding.
In Cochise and Yavapai and Salt Lake. You know,
perennial
college
of
Southern
powers.
Idaho, who's been here. There's not some chumps.
And next hour, we'll talk to another team, coach, and Lefty Burrows and Cali, that they had to win, I think it was like 5 walk-off games.
Yeah.
To get back to Grand Junction. So, a couple of teams that have clearly been battle-tested over the last week or so with their district tournaments.
Spencer was good in that championship game, too.
He was.
5 innings, 6 hits, gave up 2 runs. They just kind of chipped at him a little bit, and then they got to the bullpen. They got to Wozner. He didn't get an out, but he gave up 3 runs. Mm. The problem was they could not touch up Logan Henderson.
Yeah, Henderson was brilliant.
He was mowing them down, and I think the relief is he's not
he's
coming.
He's gone. All right. So
but their dude, Matt Olson, Matt with 1 T, their dude is not coming back either. He was great.
And he was outstanding, too. But they do have guys in Spencer and Wozner that have been here and know what it's like to pitch in this tournament.
Yeah.
All right. Let's play the number game.
Let's play the number game on the Jim Davis Show.
All right. The winner today gets something of note. I'm almost
certain.
I'm
going to say it's a case of Coors Original.
Of Coors, the Coors Banquet Beer. Brought to you by our friends at High Country Beverage. Okay, let's see. Including this series, the Colorado Avalanche have been tied 1-1 in a playoff series 16 times. How many Game 3s have they won in that specific situation? The answer is always a number, and the answer is taken via text on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Get your typing thumbs underway.
Or voice to text. Just hope it's going to
It's the right number, thing. So you should, unless your phone is set on German, and then you're just going to be saying no, which is wrong.
All right, so text in now. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. We'll talk some Broncos coming up next on the Jim Davis Show.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Yeah. Welcome back. 822, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy, who just gave out the answer. Nice job.
Yeah, I did.
Nice job. But then you gave it up, but... Only Jared was the
only
one
Jared
figured out that you gave it away.
He's like, thanks for the hint. And so the hint was, if you're doing German keyboard and your answer is going to be no, if you're voice to text, that's 9. That's
9.
The correct answer. 9 times out of 16 series is the Avalanche of 1 game 3 tied 1-1. So congratulations. Jared gets beer. I haven't had any yet this morning.
It just seems like it.
It feels like it. Yeah, that was. We went to break, and I was like, "Oh crap!"
Because I didn't catch it. Because I'll be honest, I'm still recovering from the 4-hour Mesa baseball game on Saturday. It was a lot of fun. Got called a lot of home runs, but after boy, the Mavericks just bludgeoned them on Saturday.
After a while, it's just like, wrap it up, boys. Let's go. Come on, St. Ed, start swinging.
Come on, Hilltoppers. Anything, it's close to the plate. Yeah. Let's take a swing at it.
Home plate umpire, whether it's Cody or Mark Moffitt or Brooks or
I don't remember
whoever
who
was
behind the plate Saturday.
Come on, they let go of it. It's a strike. Let's go here.
Close enough. Pitter patter.
Span the zone, baby.
Pitter patter. Let's get at her. Let's go.
Hit the bull. Don't care. This game is over.
You want them saying start the bus? So
yeah.
because they're ready to go home. Mm-hmm.
We still got four innings left. This game is over, son.
It's over. It's done. All right. So the Broncos, they're going through their off-season workouts. So they're permitted to, you know, go through the, you know, they have the 13 on-field practices before their summer break, the 10 voluntary organized team activity, OTA, which is today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Then May 31st, June 1st to the 3rd, 6th to the 7th, 9th to the 10th. And then the mandatory minicamp, June 13th to the 15th. And so they're allowed to do 7-on-7, 9-on-7, 11-on-11 drills during the minicamp practices.
9-on-7 doesn't seem fair.
It just doesn't feel like
you're going to get a good reading one way or the other.
But this becomes the first opportunity to really put in some significant work. Russell Wilson gets a chance to work more with his skill guys. Yes, they went out to San Diego and worked out there, and they had the workouts over in Denver as well.
That was 7-on-0. This is now going to be 9-on-7.
And so it's a good opportunity for Wilson and the offense to go against a full defense. So while you go, okay, it's practice, as Allen Iverson once said.
Yeah.
This is practice that is important in terms of seeing what Russell Wilson can feel comfortable with from a play-calling standpoint. Nathaniel Hackett and him getting on the same page, mm-hmm. along with Justin Outen, the offensive coordinator.
To make sure you guys can get on the same page.
Exactly.
Because this, start
sorting out some things in terms of position battles, maybe on the offensive line at right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a battle for the starting center job, too. Because Graham Glasgow restructuring, there's been some thought that he's going to get an opportunity to win that job. Certainly think Lloyd Cushenberry, the incumbent, is going to have to play really poorly in camp,
mm-hmm.
and in the preseason to probably lose that job.
And without these OTAs, how could Broncos fans on Thursday or Friday go, ball didn't touch the ground? They've threw it around for 4 days.
Can you table the snark for like 5 minutes, okay? Really?
Ball didn't touch the ground.
Table the snark. You know, Quinn Meinerz looks like he's locked in at right guard.
Yeah.
Bowles at left tackle. But there's, you know, Wattenberg, who they drafted from mm-hmm. Washington. He's expected to be a guy in the mix at the center spot. Probably as a rookie, not going to win it, but certainly will be in that conversation.
The Lloyd Cushenberry III kind of backslid last year. He's more in the conversation than you'd want him to be.
He and Graham Glasgow.
Him too, yeah.
Miners got some time at center, but it looks like right guard is really where he's going to mm-hmm. be. So this will be a chance to look at Compton, Calvin Anderson, and Billy Turner at the right tackle spot. Yeah. I mean, just to start getting a sense of what that's going to look like. Ajiro Evero, his defense. We had Dom Capers there as a defensive consultant. And so it's going to be more of really kind of taking what Vic Fangio was already doing and Ed mm-hmm. Donatell and just kind of improving upon that, so to speak.
Right. Because Dom Capers is in that Fangio, Wade Phillips line. Very good coordinator. Not a great head coach.
No.
But a very good coordinator.
Yeah. And a really good guy for Vero to have in there that has been there, done that, been a defensive coordinator.
Especially for a first-timer, yeah.
Exactly, to provide that sounding board, that veteran experience of a guy like Dom Capers. That's a sneaky good hire to have him come in and consult on the defensive side.
So.
All right, we're going to talk about Peter King. He has his rankings heading into the NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that in a moment. Who do we have on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
Well, I think getting his week one picks in already is Petey Pope.
Oh, the Pope. Hello, Your Eminence. How are you?
What it is, gentlemen. It has been a while. How y'all doing?
You know, I've been thinking about you with the school year wrapping up and everything.
I really haven't.
And I have. I have been thinking about you, Petey.
I really haven't.
Yeah, you've been on my mind, sir. You have been on my mind.
Thank you. Thank you, man. Well, school is out. Like Alice Cooper said, school is out, and it's officially summer, and kids are gone, teachers are gone, and I'm on my way to pick up vaping waste from one of our schools.
Vaping waste? That's the job today for you, huh? Vaping waste?
That's the vaping waste. Yes. When it gets confiscated from the kids, it is a hazardous waste, and so that's what they pay me for.
Well, it's not necessarily that, Buckeyes. Don't settle down.
I don't know what you mean. That was an accident.
sure, it was an accident. Do some of the students, have they probably been imbibing in that particular
I call because my good is the Avalanche. From what I see from this series so far, as long as the Avs can play with the lead, they look like they're in a good position to be able to take this series. It's just this, when St. Louis gets the lead, it's like a struggle for them. And so I am really happy so far. I was up watching the overtime game, the overtime game, and my wife is getting ready to go to sleep. And when they got the overtime goal, I said, "Oh, yeah, he got it." She said, "What is wrong with you?
I am trying to sleep here, sir." Settle down in there.
She said, "What is wrong with you? It's hockey." I said, "Baby, I told you I'm one of the 10 brothers in this country that likes hockey."
I think there's probably more than 10. I mean,
she said it was three.
There's probably a good 15. I think there's probably 15, black Americans that love hockey in this country, Petey. So come on, you're selling it short. I mean, Anson Carter's one of them.
My wife is so funny. Yeah. She said, "There's only three of you."
There's only three of you. It's pretty good. So, Avs win tonight. They grab a 3-1 lead in the series tonight.
Yeah, I think so, man. Okay. I think so. Okay. They move the puck so well as a team. It's so impressive to see just how they move the puck, and how, such as a team, they play together. They just really look good, and I'm so stoked to see that they're playing really well in the playoffs. So that's all I wanted to call about, y'all.
Okay, I got
to
ask you one quick thing here before we do it here. Peter King has his preseason rankings out for the NFL. He's got your Ravens eighth. Too high or too low? Eighth. Too high or too low?
That's a bit too... they have to prove themselves. Let's put it this way. I'm going to be fair. They have to prove themselves. With all those injuries last year. But you know what strikes me is that they usually have the Browns ranked ahead of the Ravens. And I don't know why. Are the Browns ranked ahead of the Ravens in Peter King's list?
No, they are not.
Okay, but the Bengals are.
Yes. And understandably, they're seventh. They're right in front of them, yes.
Okay. Yeah, and that's fair. That's fair. The Ravens are going to have to prove themselves. I love the draft that they had, and I just think if they are healthy and they have a fourth-place schedule, I think they're going to be pretty tough if they can stay healthy, but that's the big if.
Need the running backs to stay healthy. Dobbins, I mean, that was a big loss last year. Yeah, at least one of them.
We got that Ohio State dude.
Hey, he's good. You're welcome.
Well, and you got that he Iowa guy. Good. You got Tyler Linderbaum.
That's a road grader. Marshall Yonder was propping that dude up, man. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah, so there you
love
go.
Love the Iowa fans. We're talking skill players, man. That center.
Look,
you got to have that line.
Yep.
Because if you don't have a line, then your quarterback can't get the ball to the receivers.
There we go. Thank you, Petey.
He can't anyway. So, I mean, at least you're.
Starts
you just
up
wait.
Front.
You just
starts
wait, Buckeye. Front, yeah. You just wait. You got Deshaun Watson. You just wait, my man.
We got Jacoby Brissett for the first 2 months, apparently.
Probably, the way things are going.
You don't know how long that thing is going to last.
That's true.
But what is the thing with Baker Mayfield? Are y'all going to keep him as an insurance and he's going to sit there and sulk all year? What's the deal with that?
I think what Andrew Berry is doing is playing a game of chicken both with Baker and Roger Goodell. Because I think he's holding on to Baker until he realizes what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. Because if Deshaun gets suspended for the whole season... I really think he's going to try to mend fences with Baker for a year. I really do.
And how's he going to do that? Because the hole has been shut. I mean, there's been so many articles where Baker Mayfield has lost the locker room.
He's done there.
Different guys have said he's lost the locker room, man.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle showed no interest in him. Carolina showed no interest in him. And
he's done in Cleveland. I don't foresee him walking back through those doors.
No, I know, man. I know, and that's an unfortunate situation. I mean, he's given the right circumstances, he's not a bad player. He's not terrible, but he's not that great. But he's not terrible.
Yeah, he's
but man, I'd like
average.
To see I'd like to see the Browns be good. Man, it's always good when the Browns are
Me
good.
Me too.
Nah, like to I'm sorry. Well. I want them to be in the pits of hell forever. That's what I want.
That's only because of me.
Shut up.
Yeah, look, primarily you.
Talking
yeah.
Now that the Broncos are Super Bowl contenders.
That's right,
with
baby.
Russell
11
Wilson,
straight.
Yeah.
And we're going to win 11
straight.
Look
at this.
They didn't touch the ball. Didn't touch the ground all week this week, Petey.
I'm just looking. I've always felt that way about the Browns because of him and because of his because of the way he's been about Russell Wilson. I'm going to dig in even harder on that my Browns dislike.
Yeah, I've been looking at that. He's right. Kind of like yeah. Because you went kind of little girly offish when y'all got Russell
exactly.
Wilson. He's been playing that card on you, man.
Giddy,
go Bronx,
go Bronx. No, it's let's ride, dude.
you guys are awesome.
You don't know the jargon.
You guys are awesome.
All right, man. Take care, Petey. Good to talk to you.
All right, bud. Good to talk to you guys, and we'll holler at you during the summer, man. Take care.
All right. You too. All right. Petey Pope.
All right. Later.
See you, Petey.
Taking care of all those things in the district,
yep.
Like vape waste.
Speaking of Russell Wilson, there's not a free ticket that dude will say no to. Broncos, Rockies.
Why would he?
He's
why
at the
he
Nuggets game. He's in the box at the Avalanche game looking awkward as all hell because he doesn't look like he knows hockey very much. Just kind of holding the sign like, what do I do? He's probably at a Rapids game. He's been to a Mammoth game, I'm sure. Like, what is going on? This is hockey, but on turf. This new Outlaws. He's like, oh, this is the stadium.
Are you
is there an A2 team
are
in
you
Boulder
through?
That he's
are
been there?
Are you through? Are you done?
Sky Sox, he's there. CSU Pueblo, he's there.
Through?
He's probably going to be at the state tournament on Friday after minicamps.
Maybe he will. Maybe
he'll
show up.
Get him a free ticket. He's just going to wander
Russell
in.
Russell appreciates high school athletics near and dear to his heart, I'm sure. Are you through cracking on him about attending stuff? Wow. Dear Lord, how dare he take a free ticket and attend yeah. something?
Denver Symphony, he's there.
You've never got White a free Tux. Ticket to anything, have you, and gone to it? You've never got anything free, have you?
I try to get more free stuff.
But that's not the question. The question is, you have received free tickets to things.
I'm not denying that.
And you've gone to those things. So don't crack on Russ.
How's he studying the playbook? He's at all these events.
I saw something, too. Okay, we'll get to this very quickly.
Yes.
Giving him and Sierra grief about not... Manning was always just... You know, talk to everybody, and you know, when he go to a game, and I seriously doubt Peyton Manning talked to everybody. It was like the comment section on an uh-huh. athletic article about Russell Wilson that Sierra and him supposedly when they went to like the Nuggets, they had like a seat between them and some other people on the courtside seats, and their security, they had security people there. Well, there was and Manning never had all that,
but I don't remember. Manning at these Nuggets games when I would see him or Rock, I don't maybe Rockies because they were in the box, but I don't remember the wife and kids coming along.
And also, no offense to Peyton Manning's wife, Ashley, mm-hmm. Ashley Manning,
but she's not an international superstar on her own either.
Who they have, who there's legitimate concerns about her safety mm-hmm. because of who she is,
right?
And because she certainly probably has had stalkers. She's mm-hmm. had people like that.
Internationally, that she's yeah. more well-known than he is.
Exactly. And so it's not necessarily about him. It's about mm-hmm. protecting her and making sure she's safe, too. It's not this, oh, they're just being standoffish and jerks. No, there are people out there that are crazy,
mm-hmm.
mentally unbalanced,
right.
that have probably threatened her in the past or they've stalked her or whatever. And so they're concerned about that.
And you know what?
And
I'm pretty certain Peyton Manning had security, too, but it was a little more low-key.
I'm going to bet you PFM probably did, too.
And it's not like he was down right behind home plate at Rockies games.
Yeah,
he was in the box. He was in the box for Avs games.
Yeah, let's not paint
He's
this
not
narrative that
down
that,
on the ice
that Russ isn't as accessible and
mm-hmm.
all that garbage that I've read from a couple of people
right.
on some of the comments on The Athletic.
Is Russ way more PR managed than PFM? I think so.
I think there's a little doubt about that.
I think that's an investment that both he and his wife have made. And it's a wise investment, to be honest. Yeah.
And Peyton Manning and Ashley Manning are different than Russ and Sierra in terms of their mm-hmm. notoriety. She is a superstar, like you said, of international name recognition.
You know what? I know it comes with the territory because they're famous. If Russ is at a Nuggets game, he doesn't owe me time for anything.
No, he's there to enjoy himself. And yeah, it's silly. All right, the Peter King rankings. Let's get to these very quickly because we're running short on time here. Mm-hmm. Peter King has Buffalo as his number one team as far as the power rankings that he has heading into the season.
Mm-hmm.
I can't necessarily disagree with that.
Yeah, can't argue about
Chargers
that.
Chargers number two.
That one's a little weird.
I think it's a little high.
That's pretty high.
Chiefs are third.
That's right about.
Maybe.
Their schedule's tough.
It is tough. Ooh. Rams are fourth.
Low?
A little low. Maybe it should be higher.
A little low. Yeah.
Yeah. Green Bay, fifth. Okay. I'm okay. They lost Davante Adams, though. Maybe he's still top 10, but down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks, I think, should be higher than sixth. Cincinnati, seventh. Maybe a touch higher.
Yeah, a touch low on that number.
Baltimore, I don't know if Baltimore's a top 10 team.
That's really high. I know they had a good draft and everybody's healthy, at least right now, but
Philadelphia, number nine.
I think somebody needs to reboot Peter King at this point because
I get it.
He's going haywire.
I get they've got Devontae Smith. They've got some receiving talent. They've got James Bradbury in the secondary now.
Look, they're the best team in that division, but that's not saying a whole lot.
But then, Dallas might say, wait a minute, Dallas is comparable, I would say, in that division. San Francisco's 10th. New Orleans is 11th.
That's a little high.
That's high. I'm sorry. I know they got Jarvis Landry now, but I just, that's just too high.
Mm-hmm.
And Olave's good, but.
Yeah.
Winston's Winston.
We haven't seen him.
Tennessee 12th, Vegas 13th, Denver's 14th. I think it's a little low.
Low?
12th? I don't think they're top 10 at this moment.
No, I don't.
But New Orleans ahead of them? Come on.
We haven't seen these guys play together yet for some other teams. You got to also do that for the Broncos.
I'm not screaming that it's an injustice or anything. Yeah. I just think if you got the Saints, really the Saints are going to be ahead of the Broncos now?
That one and the Chargers, that one's a little weird. I think the Chargers are a better team, but.
Yeah, I think Chargers are too high.
They're way too high, but I think they rank ahead of the Broncos.
Houston dead last, by the way.
Naturally.
Yeah, I'd be fair going to what last year, how they played and everything. Yeah, I would be, that's fair to say that the Chargers would be ahead of the Broncos. Your Browns are 18th. There we go. Okay, yep. So we need to get to.
Was that a good call or did they totally blow it? It's good call or bad call.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and start out with you.
Good call, bad call. Me going to see the McDonald's themed Black Sabbath tribute band, Mac Sabbath, in November. That's a good call. Because these are McDonald's. They wear like the McDonald's land characters. There's Ronald. There's the Hamburglar. There's Mayor McCheese. And one other one. I can't remember what the big purple monster is. It's not Cookie Monster, but
Grimace.
Grimace. Thank you. So they're dressed up like those four guys. And they sing Sabbath songs, but they're parodies relating to McDonald's. It's awesome.
So where are they playing?
Mesa Theater. In November.
Okay, so they're dressed up like the McDonald's characters, though.
Yes, face paint and all for the clown, which weirds me out a little bit, but I'm in. I'm definitely
okay.
In.
Good call for you. I'm not sure, and I like Sabbath, but yeah. I'll have to check out one of their songs on YouTube and see what I think.
The fake British accent is a little over the top singing, but damn, it's funny, and I'm all in at this moment.
All right, yesterday you had from Chile, Mito Pereira, who ended up gagging himself out of a chance to win the PGA Championship. He said, you have so much pressure in your body, you don't even know what you're doing. and that was talk about what happened to him. Good call, bad call, that he was pretty upfront about that. And he was able to kind of laugh it off. I'd say it's a good call. It's a good frame of mind to be in. Look, you just blew a PGA Championship opportunity. What are you supposed to do? Sit around and lose your mind over it? I think it's a good call. And
yeah, I think that's a good call.
Okay. That's good call, bad call, 844. We will take a break and we'll come back. Nate Porter, Palisade baseball coach, joins us next on The Jim Davis Show.
They need a wake-up call.
Call or text The Jim Davis Show on the Chick-fil-A team line, 970-242-1340. Talking Palisade Bulldog sports on The Jim Davis Show.
And with us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, the head coach of the Palisade Bulldogs baseball team, Nate Porter, and our conversation with Nate Porter brought to you by the Rick Nelson Agency and American Family Insurance. For a free comparison, call this team of licensed professionals at 970-241-0078. Nate Porter joins us. Nate, appreciate the time. Congratulations. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
So my first question, probably should not be the first question, but it's going to be, who unplugged you guys when you're talking to Buckeye? Who unplugged? Was it Paul Kane or was it Corey Hitchcock that unplugged you guys?
Well, I'm not going to tell on who it was, but it wasn't Paul Kane.
Okay. So we now know who it is. Thank you, Corey Hitchcock. Thank you for unplugging the equipment during the interview. But I tell you what, congratulations. Great two games for your ball club. You dominated in both games, the one against Aurora Central. Run rule victory there, 10-0, and then you knock off Falcon to move on to Colorado Springs for the state baseball championships, a place that Palisade has not been to in quite some time. And I know it's always been tough to get over this regional hump, right? It's always, you know, get to that regional championship game, can't quite get there. It's had some really good seasons. It's got to feel really good for you and your kids, Nate, to break through and get to the next round of the state tournament.
Oh, it feels really good. It's been a goal of ours since September when we started hitting in the cages and taking some ground balls on the field and getting our arms going again, because that last year was a pretty sour taste in our mouth. And like I've said before, we pushed these kids really hard this year, and we knew they had the talent physically, and we just focused on the mental side of it, the character development, and they've earned it. They've worked hard. I'm proud of every one of those kids, not just the starters typically every game, but we've got a really good bench. We've got good support each other, and so I'm happy for him. I'm proud of him, and it was a monkey off our back for sure.
Bulldogs head coach Nate Porter is joining us on the Jim Davis Show. I know we are giving Corey Hitchcock a little bit of grief, but some of your players that have gotten over this hump on the diamond were basketball players that got over the hump of not winning a first round playoff game for a long time. They kind of have to learn how to win, right? How much stock do you put it? We've talked to you before about this, but really kind of your thoughts on these guys learning how to win on the court and then kind of bringing that mentality, that knowledge to the baseball diamond.
I sent Corey and I were texting back and forth after the game, and my response to him, he congratulated us on a big-time win and fun watching our coaching staff lead the guys. And I said, thanks, Coach. I truly feel you're a part of this. And I mean that 100% sincerely, because what he did on the basketball court with those kids and the competitive nature that he put in them a little bit more that they didn't have, the buy-in, the discipline, I mean, I feel like he's just as much a part of this as our athletic director, as our principal, Dan Bollinger, Greg Hawkins, our AD. And, I mean, everybody's just been super, super supportive. And Corey's a really good fit for Palisade. And I'm looking forward to my kids playing for him next year, because they're just as much his kids as they are mine, you know. And he coaches them the right way, and it does transfer over to the baseball field.
Bulldogs baseball coach Nate Porter joining us, the champions of Region 1, and got a couple of really good pitching performances. Mauricio Perez, Ryder Mancuso to win both of those games. But I know that you made the comment to the local paper about Aiden Bevin, that you drove in the game winner to clinch it for you. It was appropriate that it should be Aiden Bevin. Tell us why Aiden Bevin was the right guy to be the guy in that moment.
I've had Aiden for 4 years, and I've watched him mature as much as any player I've ever had, from freshman year to senior year. And he is the most disciplined hitter on our team. He recognizes that he doesn't have the, you know, the Aaron Judge type power, and he stays within himself. He's a smart hitter. I think he's got 2 strikeouts on the year. He leads our team in lowest strikeouts. He leads our team in RBIs. He's a contact hitter that barrels it up. And to see where he's come from, he got gypped out of an all-conference spot last year, and I think it really frustrated him, and he felt like he wasn't being recognized. And I took him to lunch right after the season last year and said, you've got things to prove, because I know you're better than the other coaches think you are and that your stats said this year. And he works his tail off every day. He never takes a day off. He's one of the first kids on the field, working on the field. He's one of the first kids with a rake in his hand. He's one of the last kids to leave. He is a coach's dream.
Bulldogs head coach Nate Porter joining us on the Jim Davis Show. You guys played really loose, got really fired up. Ryder Mancuso, he'd get some punch outs on the mound to end an inning, and he'd come off the mound screaming, "Let's go." Was there any point in that game Saturday afternoon where you thought, like, okay, maybe need to rein them in just a touch, or were they kind of rolling and you could kind of feel that they were on the right edge of that?
No, I stayed out of their way. In the first game, I told them to calm down because I didn't want them to expend too much energy against Aurora Central. You know, we got up a few runs early, and I could tell that the kids were there to hit. Malaysia was throwing strikes, and so I was fairly confident that we were going to win that game in about the second inning. So I told the kids getting excited on a home run to just save your energy. Next game's going to be a tough one. And they just kept that energy. My wife brought a bunch of really healthy food, fruit and fruit and vegetables for the kids for lunch. I told them no big Subway sandwiches. That stuff can bog you down and make you tired. So let's just let's eat a big meal afterwards, and let's just get enough food in our system to keep the energy levels up. And man, they just came to play, and I was not going to get in the way of them. That's their team. That's their win. I didn't have to give too many signs. I mean, it was to sit back and watch them hit. So it was fun. And Ryder threw exceptionally well. He's got always got a few things to work on. Every pitcher, every hitter does, but he threw exceptionally well, threw hard, hit his spots most of the time. His intensity was great. His composure was great. It was a good, really good win for our team.
Bulldogs baseball coach Nate Porter with us today on the team. So now it's a bit of a waiting game. There's still some of the regionals that have to be wrapped up. Montrose, they're playing at 3:00 today against Denver North. So, like you said, right now it's a bit of a waiting game to see what happens next coming up on Friday.
Yeah, I was just on the phone with our AD Hawkins before you guys called, and they take the top, they take all the seedings in the same order that they put them out with, and so I'm kind of have an idea who I think we're going to play, but until the rest of these teams finish up their regionals, we won't know for sure. But it really doesn't matter the same way it didn't matter in regionals. We've got to play against the ball, and we've got to have good approach at the plate. Our pitchers are going to pitch, our defense is going to do what it does, and our hitters have a good approach to the plate. I think we're a contender for sure.
I know there's still a lot of baseball left to get to the state championship game, but for Palisade, 1985, they lost a Rifle in the state title game, and so I know for you, the chance to get your ball club to that standpoint, to play for a state championship, that's what this season's about. That's the ultimate goal, is to walk away. You're the number one team in terms of the seeding, but to be the number one team in the state in 4A when it's all said and done.
That's 100% our goal. We've got 4 pitchers deep. There was a slight part of me that wanted to keep it at 9 runs in the 6th inning because Josh Otto was going to come close it out. But Aiden gets that double off the wall to win the game, to 10 run them. Josh Otto is going to have to throw a long pin today, almost game simulated because he didn't throw this weekend. We were planning on using Malaysio and Riker if needed on the first game, and then Ryder and Josh Otto in the second game. So we have 4 legitimate starting pitchers that we haven't got to get a whole lot of innings in, a lot of because of our offense, and that's probably not going to be the case this weekend. You start facing a lot better pitching, and everybody's got a stud or two. So that's what we're going to have to do this week to get prepared for that 3-game series, because I believe you got to win 2 out of 3 to make it to the following weekend.
Hey, we appreciate it. Thank you so much, Nate. Congratulations on winning that regional and moving on the state tournament. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Jim. You guys have a great day.
You too. Take care. Nate Porter, head coach of the Palisade Bulldogs baseball team. We'll take a break, and coming up next hour, we'll talk with Darren Burrows, the coach of Cali College out of Arkansas City, Kansas. They have qualified for this year's Junior College World Series once again, so we'll have that conversation with him next hour on the program. So it's the good, the bad, the ugly on this Monday. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. I'd love to get your thoughts on Mavs moving on in the to the Super Regional after the win over St. Edward's. Palisade baseball moving on in the 4A state tournament. Also, the Avalanche score off against the Blues tonight. Nazem Kadri getting death threats after the hit on Jordan Bennington, which he clapped Callie Rosen. They were in front of the net. I just think, come on, that was an accident. But I understand why Blues fans feel the way they do about Nazem Kadri.